Right, good evening there. A bit of a sharp cut off there. Normally I find it a lot better than that, but I didn't this evening. If you've been watching on the Periscope, or you haven't, or you have, or you have, you haven't, you have, you have, you'll notice that we are in a slightly different surround tonight. So the sound might be slightly different to how it normally is, but maybe a little bit more echoey because of the high ceiling that's in there. Anyhow, we went with a monster pod. We said it was a monster pod. We have a monster pod. We've got seven of us talking crap about anything we can think of. So there's a bit of transfer nonsense. There's a bit of FSG nonsense. There's a bit of Brendan Rodgers nonsense, and then there's an absolute bit of nonsense right at the end. In tonight, we've got Sean, we've got Neil, we've got Steve-O, we've got Andy, we've got Jamie, and we've got Dave, and we've got myself, Phil. You know, it's more or less the compendium of lads who've either hosted the show or been around most of the shows for the last 6 to 8 months. As we look forward to the new season and start to get our heads together, decide what we're going to do and how we're going to bring the pod a bit forward. Anyhow, I won't hang around any longer. Get on, good hour here of your time. Actually, I think it's a bit under an hour this year, so hopefully the traffic isn't too bad with all the schools gone away, so just fit the commute nicely. And if you need a bit more to fit in, Jordan, on your commute, sure, watch the Periscope again. That was a bit of a laugh as well, wasn't it, Sean? It was, Sean. Yeah. I was going to sing a song at the opening of this, but it's quite late in the evening and I can't be arsed. I need to get home. I need to drop Sean home as well. I need to put all the stuff back into the old bunker. So, anyway, I'll hand it over to the lads. Okay, gents. Monster pod. A lot of lads in the house. We've got Sean, we've got Neil, we've got Steve, we've got Andy, we've got Jamie, we've got Dave. Basically, the greatest hits of your season. It's the people that people always want to talk about, except with the exception of Paul Brennan, who unfortunately died during the week and he's been buried with Trev. Expect to see Paul Brennan on the Nailed Pod soon.
We're supposed to be at his funeral now at the minute, actually.
Fuck him.
He's always saying, can't be arsed with the pod, so it's our turn to get back. Anyway, so look, lads, you know, it's been a fairly quiet week. Not much has happened since the last podcast, with the exception of us not signing Van Dijk or Salah, which we discussed on the whole last podcast. It's been a brilliant signing for Liverpool Football Club and Athletic Grounds, Southampton Pool. What's done?
Salah's
done, Jay.
Yep.
What sauce did you get it from?
If I said, right, I'll just put words randomly, right? If these words happen to be right, you nod. Okay. Right, and I'll tell the listeners if you're nodding or not, right? Jay Riley. Not right, grand.
Like Gray said it.
Is it?
Has he? He's your mate.
No, I'm gonna dig. I'm gonna dig him out here. I am.
Who?
Graham Kelly.
Why?
The fucking stick he was getting. There was no.
Well, I think that was uncalled for, to be honest with you.
There was actually nothing incorrect in what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
It.
Like
other than
I believe
it was 44 million plus.
He thought what the rest was most was.
Buckle myself in.
Graham's actually a sound guy. Like,
he genuinely, like, I don't think he was putting that out. Now there was some things they were hanging around and check this in 15 minutes and that in 15 minutes. But like, it's not his fault the fucking DFL trip.
Keep an eye on Twitter in 15 minutes was said.
I think I even tweeted something like that. I'm off the pump for the pint.
It's not his fault the DFL trip.
Is he part of the solution or part of the problem?
Part of the problem.
Thank you. Move on.
Well, see, it depends on how you look at it. Actually, I think it's
all part of the problem.
It's worth talking about. Social media is the problem.
That's the answer.
There's no cure to it. So just accept it. Move on.
Yeah.
Liverpool fans are extreme.
Social media isn't the problem.
Thanks, Dave.
Social media fans extremism.
The fucking idiot, aren't
they? Listen, Liverpool fans are fundamentalists.
Wank Scorpio.
The thing is with Liverpool fans, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
No,
you look at now, there was the same people.
No, I'll just jump in, Sean, and Dave, I want to ask on this specific point. That's one of the hosts. Basically, right? We've got a load of ITKs, right? We've a load of pretend ITKs.
Mm-hmm.
We've a load of rumour
merchants. Probably a few in this room.
Well, it's hard to know, Stephen.
Don't know what you're talking about.
But all I'm saying is, and Dave, you're a rational man, so you're always good for an opinion around this. But like, if we didn't have the lads who do know a few things and put it out there on Twitter, right? How many fake ITK accounts would then be paid attention to? Now, it's almost like you have to have a few real ones just so as people aren't constantly going on about the fake ones.
But it's market economy, right? The reality is it's supply and demand. People want transfer information and they're willing to swallow anything. So the reality is
absolutely.
It's like complaining about what the Daily Mail put in their paper. Stop buying a fucking Daily Mail then. You know,
exactly.
It's supply and demand. So there are people who, you know, maybe 3-4 years ago, legitimately said, oh, I happen to know a little bit of something, didn't think it would stick. And then for 3 years, they get hounded over, oh, do you know anything about this? Do you know anything about that? And then people call themselves, you know, the Anfield cat or the Anfield mole or the Anfield whatever. And suddenly
one calls themselves that.
They're all releasing these little bits of information to get subscribers. And then what happens is you get 3,000 Twitter followers. Suddenly betting companies want you to retweet bets and then you're making money. So, you know, it's market economy. And the only way you can stop it is to say, well, you know, I know where good news comes from. I know where good. And also, it's not real life, lads. Like, exactly. Whether we sign defender A or defender B or left back A, or it's not real life. It's a soap opera. It doesn't matter. So,
but that's the appeal of it.
That's why the demand is there. It's because people want the
demand.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter if you separate real life from the sport. It's not called for that. Graham Kelly or whatever starts getting called a nonce.
Exactly.
It escalates from it escalates from just people talking
just
about
like
football
and
being that vindictive that you have to like throw out that.
But it's also like if you put a bit of information out there, it's your choice whether you believe it or not, right? If you're upset that information is then wrong, you got to look at yourself, not the person who gave you the information.
But that's what it is. But the thing is,
here's the question. If somebody comes out with that information and it is then incorrect, and they've put it out there for the adulation that comes along with putting out that. Like, there's no need for people.
Is it fair game? Is what
it is fair game. No, it's not even is it fair game. It is fair game. It is 100% fair game for them to take the abuse if they put it out there for the adulation that should have come off.
I think it's fair to call them on it and say, dickhead, you got it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that's what happens in the most extreme of cases. You know, it becomes really personal.
Well, you have nutbags going, die, I hope your family get AIDS.
Phil made a good point before. He said about social media and the influence of social media. I've seen people saying, oh, it's not the Liverpool way. We used to do our transfers in the background, you know, quietly go about our business. That's because social media wasn't there. No one had access to
there
this
wasn't
type
a fax
of
machine.
But also, what happened with us the weekend last week with Van Dijk? That happens every summer where every other club and every other deals break down. Bridges are fucking burnt, and there's some that are mended. We just happened to do it in public, and we got caught.
But our fan base, though, mate. At the same time, if we'd have not released any type of information, right, and our fan base would be panicking that we're not doing deals.
But that's fair.
So then we make a leak, which incorrect. You know that leak is going to cost Liverpool now. Phil is showing a picture of who is that, Phil?
No, I was just catching up on Love Island.
My point is, if we aren't making those leaks, everyone's panicking now off the back of City doing a bit of early business. So the club maybe felt compelled to release a little bit of information. And
Jamie, there's the problem again. The club, rather than doing the right professional thing, give in to stupidity from fans.
Oh, no, I agree.
Because it's the fucking 12th of June now. Mm. When this shit started to happen, it was the 2nd or 3rd of June. Okay? There was no need for anybody to panic. Anybody panicking and saying, why have we not done our business yet? We know who we want, or we should know who we want, and we want our top target. It doesn't work like that. I've seen it work like that once, I think, in all the time I can remember, when Chelsea went out and got Fabregas and Costa on the fucking first day of the transfer window opening, I think it was. Mm. They signed those two. And they were exactly what was needed, a striker and a centre midfielder.
But the thing is, we also got two other things here. First of all, we exist in a bit of an echo chamber in that 90% of the people we engage with on Twitter are Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
I would imagine if you were an Arsenal fan, there's people in there.
It's the same.
Circle that do the same on Spurs and Chelsea. So we think, oh, it's only our club, we're useless, this deal fell through. As Sean said, everyone goes through that. The second thing as well is that... What's that? Oh, yeah.
They just got a shepherd's hook there.
The second thing is as well, is that people, you know, are choosing where to get their news from and then being annoyed when that news isn't telling them what they want.
Exactly.
I mean?
If it doesn't suit them, they don't want to know.
Yeah.
That looks spoiled.
The last transfer, the last two transfers that I can remember where we signed them and I honestly didn't see it coming was Clavin and Asaidi.
You needed a Clavin circle.
Asaidi. But I can't think of any other signing we've done where it was just totally out of the blue, never saw it coming. Nobody leaked it days or weeks beforehand.
I don't know. days, maybe, when Alden was that, just a day or two?
I think when Alden was about a week before.
Everybody was expecting Sissoko, and then it just turned into
when Alden. It was when Alden got confused.
Like, because everyone thought we were signing.
Who's left?
Who has left the club?
No. Who was left when they went up to Newcastle? With the players going out the door because they've been relegated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like...
I think we're worse than other clubs.
Yeah, I agree. Liverpool fans 100%.
Are the extremists of
ups and
social
downs.
Media.
Well, I think you're right, Andy. And I think if you look at Paddy Power today tweeting, you know, the Liverpool football clubs
transfer cycle,
and it's like club leaks, whatever it is, fans go mad, and then it's whatever, articles about players coming to the thing. Club backs down, sign doesn't happen, and start, and club leaks another story, and it's like, and it's just literally what it is. Now, if you've got big accounts like that doing it, which are sports related accounts, there's obviously
a common conception,
they gauge the sentiment amongst the fans pick on something.
Paddy Power are normally satire and that, but that does an element to that.
But if you, I don't know if any of you look at Media Watch on Football 365, right? They've done this thing. About John Cross and Arsenal, right? And every transfer window, he lists like nine players that he's been briefed by Arsenal are going to sign. And they went through the last like 6 years and they've signed two of them out of like 40 players. And this list always comes out after either Wenger signs a new contract or they fail to win the league or they do something.
To appease the fans.
All clubs do this and all fans get sucked into it. And it's...
I think then the only difference is our list, unlike most clubs, is that their actual targets, as opposed to most clubs just give a random list.
Are they actual targets though? Who is saying that they're actual targets?
Well, the club apologised to Southampton because Van Dijk was. Salah is one that there's definitely talks going on at the moment. Keita, clearly they've inquired about him.
What has given you any indication that
it's the briefings that have been given?
And Keita.
I don't think that's a real journalist,
the Liverpool-based journalist that you would trust have clearly been briefed that he is on a list.
Bollocks, why would you do that?
The only person I've seen get involved in this sort of chat that I would say I could actually trust, and people can laugh about it all they want, is James Pearce. Because the stories he's come out with in the last 2 years that I can remember anyway... have actually been on the
money. He's linked us to Keita.
Yeah, but he doesn't say, he speaks late. You know, he when
yeah, well, that's when, right. Well, then that's when to speak.
But when you're talking
about...
You
don't need to speak 2 weeks
talking
early.
About fucking Keita or... There's a few... Like, Salah started...
Oh, he's having a go at you now.
He's a nice player.
I'm a teacher.
Salah started with the Italian press leaking it. With agents messing around and getting it out there and getting the ball rolling. The club don't admit to fucking ITKs or local journalists we were signing them. It makes absolutely zero sense. And the Van Dijk thing comes from the Southampton end. And when the two marry together that everybody's talking about, then you know it's a real thing.
But when
it's just like fucking bullshit, like coming on Twitter or somebody's
this bollocks.
They can't write. They can't write
Lazio. Your man from Lazio, it's gone from Liverpool are looking to spend 26 million on him to Liverpool have had a 70 million euro bid rejected. Like, it's just...
No. They had a 28 million pound bid.
See, this is the other problem. People can't read, right? That's a big problem. Like, our fan base can't read.
People don't want to read. They see what they want to see. They reject what they don't want to see.
Liverpool have had a bid rejected for 70 million euro Lazio midfielder Sergio Mark.
Yeah, no, but that's but Stephen, that report originally broke as being they had a £28 million bid rejected,
and
Lazio wanted 70 million.
And the number two was broken.
So what happens is that they said there was 37 million in the difference. It probably turns out that Lazio want 37 million for him, right? There was a £28 million bid.
37
and
million
then somebody added 37 million onto the 28 and came up with 65 and then rounded up to 70. Yeah. Because that's what happened. And then they also changed sterling to euro as well and just used that interchangeably.
Yeah, I don't think
there's an issue with a club drawing up a list and making it public because it can still turn players' heads. It can still get them interested that a big club like Liverpool are interested. I think the issue is when we claim to have 200 million to spend on transfers because then that adds 15, pounds 20, down. 30 million onto
price. I think that's all being just journalists can't write the truth every day. They have to make stuff up.
Otherwise, they only have three papers.
They have to write
sell.
A story on little feelers they've got, or you know, hunch. Like if somebody maybe mentioned something, then right, we're going to write a story.
Yeah, but the Liverpool
but it makes
base.
No sense. That it makes absolutely no sense that somebody at the club has said, "Listen, whatever." Pierce, we've got a war chest. We're going to tell everyone now. That just makes no sense.
Actual chest for war.
Yeah, but all our fans are clamoring for us to spend money. They want to know who our targets are. Who are we going to go after now?
Well, I think it makes,
you have to manage your fan base.
It makes
as well,
sense. Like. It makes sense we have money because for the last couple of seasons, we haven't spent like mad money, but Sky money has come in. There's extra revenue for the stand has come in. Like, there's loads of reasons why we should have money, okay? And we're making more profits and stuff like that. They haven't been spending like mad and now we're in the Champions League. So it makes sense there's money. So, rather than write an article and say, hello, fellow fans.
Hello, fan pals.
It makes sense. We have money.
Yeah, but
it's better to say, we're going to spend a war chest.
War chest is the fucking worst phrase ever used.
I want you say that
in chest.
You've got mileage.
I think there has to be a chest.
And you have
coins.
Okay, so let's... No, whatever about...
Give Sean
what's that, Sean?
Whatever about war chest and all, Klopp came out there last week saying that he wants 7 players. And that... Oh, you don't get any trophies for having a positive net spend.
Yeah.
But that's the thing you want to hear.
So there you go. We are going to spend money.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely fucking. Totally
it's not about fucking James Pierce saying that we have a fucking war chest.
There's no need to shout, we're all in a room together.
We have a war chest and you're making a story. It's something to write about.
It makes sense
that we will spend money.
All that's happened in the last week has been a fucking blame game. It's them blaming. It suits everyone. It suits FSG for the fans to be saying, oh, them cunts leaking it. We've been incompetent with transfers for years. Multiple managers, multiple owners, and now we've multiple fucking managing directors.
Credit where credit's due.
Where was the last, apart from this, the Van Dijk thing, we got to see how that ends up, right? What was the last fuck up we had?
The January for fucking
Conor Pianca.
Conor
Pianca. Dempsey, Teixeira.
3 years.
Willian.
Teixeira.
This year, that was the most. That was last year.
That was last January. Well,
what happened there?
The club went balls out. Jurgen Klopp was talking about signing him.
And to be honest, is he worth that level of money?
It got to the stage where the club were so vocal about it.
Yeah, but the manager said no. He walked away from that price.
No, there wasn't. Because I remember the game, and it was your man, Jake Humphrey of BT, and they were doing like a pre-game thing, and he's in the office with Jurgen Klopp, I think it is, and he says something to him about him. He says, what about that lad from Shakhtar? And he just laughs her off. So it couldn't have been just fucking fallacy if...
He turned him down because of the price.
Can we just go back to something Jamie said there a minute ago? And it was, the club have to manage the fan base and give them the information they crave.
They don't know what
they
a club
don't.
Does it.
Just for a second, let me finish out.
All clubs
might do it. You don't have to do it. Ask me, 99% of fans would be happy if we didn't say a fucking word, but actually did our fucking talking with the signings we made.
So what
if we got to the middle of August and we'd signed our four top targets, if we'd signed Van Dijk, Salah, a top striker and a fucking left back and a central midfielder, let's say five people, really good quality signings. And in the middle of August, there wasn't this wank every single day on Twitter and the papers and people leaking little bits to fucking journals and in the nose and whatever else. But if we just fucking shut the fuck up, got our deals done,
but
and
that,
in mid-August...
That's so idealistic, mates, because realistically, it is though. If you see all of the other clubs making big moves and big signings, and you don't hear a peep out of our club, our fans would go into meltdown.
Would you agree? Come out and say is, we're doing our business behind closed doors and we'll announce it when we're ready to announce it.
Would you agree that this is our biggest transfer window in recent history?
It's our smallest transfer window
because so far we've spent £3 million. Now, and this leads back to the point around war chests and 200 million and putting that out there, right? It's like, I just don't understand why the whole hype is about us having our biggest transfer window ever. When in fact, that's just off the back of a lot of hype. We could end up net spend could be 20 million. We could end up spending no more money for the rest of the summer. There's nothing to be.
We're coming off the back of a season where we've
gambled
players for just league games.
Hang on a second.
So
we came off,
zero sense.
Lads, it's like this didn't happen fucking 3 years ago.
Correct.
3 years ago, we came off the back of losing the league 2 games from the end.
And what was our net spend?
And having 14 players from January till the
end. What was our net spend that season?
60 million, was it?
65 million. 65 million.
Well, forget the net spend. They still spent 120 million.
Net spend is a lot of bollocks. Let's drop that.
Because other transfers going out.
No, I disagree, Andy. We should be spending 100 million, at least 100 million net this summer.
Net, it makes absolutely no. What
it does, because if we make back 100 million in sales, right, and we've spent 200, we should spend 300 million.
But if we can strengthen our side and our 11 and our squad and still get rid of dead wood, why just spend for the sake of it?
No, I agree with you 100%. It doesn't matter how much we spend, because we could have gone out and spent fucking 40 million. We could have spent 50 million on John Stones last season, and we could have got Joel Matip for free.
So you can't say to me, though, that this is our biggest transfer window.
Phil,
I think you mean most important.
More important.
Phil,
most important.
Player,
I don't mean as in the actual amount that we spend. I just mean and where we want to get this club to.
But your point then is different, because everyone out there, when you say the biggest transfer window ever, the fans on Twitter, fans on Facebook are immediately associated with
the money
spent.
I didn't mean in value. I just mean, like, if we want to kick on as a club, we have to sign the right players. We can't get this wrong. And that, like,
what are you all laughing at there?
Thanks, Scorpio. Yeah. I was going to the loo.
Thanks, Scorpio.
Was going for his laser.
Kind of need to set up his laser.
Ring. No, that's what I'm getting at, Jamie. Because this whole thing is a hype machine at the moment. Yeah. It's 200 million. It's our biggest window, and people are just looking. It's the money being
Phil,
spent.
It's 80, 100, 150, 200 million.
You only have to look at them.
I don't care the actual value we spend. I just want us to go out and buy 5 starters.
Agreed.
That's it.
Agreed.
I don't care how much they cost.
By virtue of the fact you're buying 5 starters, the average starters costing you 40 million.
But the 15 million has now become 30 because of the new influx of money in the sport. But I just want 5 starters. I don't care where they come from. I don't care if they're fashionable. As long as they're not
there's a difference. Tapas. There's a difference between
tapas. The like starters, mate. It's like a full meal except it's all starters.
Tapas.
That's a key word.
Tapas.
Try tapas, mate.
Genius, Nick.
That's all I have to say. This is a bollocks conversation.
You may as well just go home. That's the best thing you're going to say today.
I just want 5
going to
need that there. Right?
grab that mic and just drop it on the ground.
Tapas.
Neil Gray, everybody.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
You see Jurgen Klopp onto Michael Edwards. So what's the plan this summer, boss?
Tapas.
And then we'll end up a fucking ass.
The last
again.
Champions League window was a little bit there. When we qualified for the Champions League under Rodgers, it was different. First of all, we had Brendan Rodgers, who doesn't attract big names anyway. The club was still in debt.
And we lost the best striker in the world.
It was before the Sky money, the loads of money. So lots of
and we lost Suarez. And the reality is, trying to replace that is madness.
Yeah, okay. Look, so he went out and the squad needed players. Yeah. He was given a budget, whatever the budget was. I'd say the budget is twice or three times that now. It's totally different, the circumstances.
Yeah.
They have to have learned as well. They've got Klopp now. They went and got Klopp and not Rodgers or Martinez. So I think they mean business now.
Okay.
Obviously, they still went out with the intention.
Does anyone think we're not going to sign players? And does anyone think we're not going to sign players that Klopp wants? Yeah. So really...
We still went to Southampton to try and lowball them and get Van Dijk a bit cheaper. We're still at that carry on.
We didn't go to Southampton.
No.
We went the opposite way.
We went north instead of south. We went the sneaky way about trying to get them on the cheap. Okay?
Like we always do.
Yeah. So okay. We still have that same philosophy.
Hang on, Neil, just to wrap this topic up, what do you want to say? Apart from tapas.
Apart from that, if you just look at the cold light of day, the only one deal we've done so far is the
Solanke.
Under 20 player of the tournament. So far, everything has gone fucking great.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to leave now. Andy, I'll let you open on this because this is the one I want to lead on from, right? There's a lot of debate going on about should FSG are good owners or bad owners, right? But Andy, I'm asking you now, have FSG broken a promise to Liverpool fans since taking over?
I think they've told a few bendy truths.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But apart from that, like they've done nothing like blatant to like they're not like
Hicks and Gillett
and leaving this big massive Bank of Scotland debt that's going to make the club go under. Mm. They're not dangerous owners, but they are very shrewd and. They won't be bullied by fans. Like, if you tweet Linda...
Yes, they will.
Yeah, they already
apologised over the ticket thing before. Oh, well, sorry, we're just going to...
No, Sean, they did a little reverse on it. But they got rid of category games and they put every game category out. They're still bringing the same amount of money.
Yeah, but that,
and it's only ever, and all it's done is it's really, it's they don't pretend anything.
They don't pretend anything. Yeah. Apologising to Southampton as well.
Yeah,
100%. Same face, Jack. Yeah.
It was Father Jack.
Kill it now.
Yeah,
that's what they done.
Yeah,
kill that now straight away.
Oh, yeah, look, before, the word, look, they were told,
and that was clever. Yeah,
there was no sure thing. Yeah. There were somebody in Liverpool spoke to somebody in Southampton, and they've said, "What's going to make this go away?
How do we put this to bed?"
Yeah, just an apology, just to stall this.
I'm sending in agent there now with a suitcase full of sawdust and a bag.
Where's that E&M thing come from?
we're getting distracted.
Imagine earlier, man.
But going to FSG, they. I think at the start they said things like, we've got the money to compete with anyone. Okay. They did say that, and that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. And they said that
they were going to build the Anfield Road in straight after. They planned permission for that.
Yeah.
And Ian Air has then since come out and said that it doesn't make business sense. So, like, there's a lot of things they've said, but they're not things that make you say, let's get them out of the club. They're decent owners. They seem like good people. They seem like people out here. Yeah. The club is safe in their hands. But they are investors. They didn't come into Liverpool because they love us.
Mm-hmm.
They came into Liverpool because they seen it was a good opportunity. But along the way, their motivations marry our motivations.
Okay. Dave, I want to put it to you, right? And Jamie, I'm going to put it to you two guys on this one, right? FSG are not owners who want to win things. FSG are owners who want to have Liverpool Football Club on the most football matches on the television. We'll be happy to see them in the Champions League because, again, it brings in more revenue. But to actually win trophies, to put the level of investment that you need to put into a club to have you at the very top table in Europe, they aren't those type of owners. And as such, Liverpool fans have a choice now. They can either say, I'm happy with us being, you know, with them wanting us in the Champions League because of money, but actually, we're not going to get the winners out of it.
So, well, first of all, I think that they do. I don't agree that they don't want to win. I just think that they've said from day one, the club will be self-sufficient. So the first question you've got to ask yourself is, have they taken any money out of the club? Mm-hmm. As far as we know, not a penny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a single penny out of the club. Now, maybe in the next fucking financial statements they would have taken 100 million out, but as we know right now, they haven't taken a penny out. So every penny that's been earned has gone back into the club.
Can you excuse my ignorance on this, right? When we see them financial statements, they're not actually statements. We never get a statement of profit or loss. We never get a statement of financial position.
They can be doctored.
It's highlights. So we actually don't know whether money has been borrowed from the club.
It's like when Kieran Trippier.
Well, you do, because if you borrow money out of the club, you do know that. Because if you borrow money out of the club,
that's what I mean.
It becomes a debt, and it has to be on their profit and loss statement.
So they don't produce that. They do access that.
They do. They produce the accounts for the holding company.
We can't access that. It's not published. It's not published.
It's in company's house. Yeah, you can.
It's in company's house.
It's in company's house.
Why isn't it being published all over the Echo or all over the
They do analysis of it. It is. They're a publicly traded company.
Well,
They're not a publicly traded company.
They're limited. Even their limited liability.
You'll have to pay for it.
Somebody will pay for it.
Like Swiss Ramble does it. He does an analysis of it. Anyway, let me go back.
Who?
So as far as we know, he's a financial guy.
John Swiss Ramble is his name. Swiss Ramble.
But so as far as we know, they haven't taken a penny.
He's the cousin of Swiss Ramble.
Are they trying to maximise how much Liverpool is worth for a potential sale? Yeah.
Hmm.
Right? So the question then becomes, so what type of owners do we want? And let's be honest, because we're football fans, we want Sheikh Mansour. That's what we want, right? We want a guy.
Andy doesn't. All the rest of us do.
And put a billion in. That's what we want.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot has gone by with City, and I think what that owner has done there is he hasn't actually got enough credit.
Yeah,
City are a global thing now. They're a franchise that a forced, recognisable football franchise. Red Bull are following suit, but City runs itself.
Okay, so take him out, right? And maybe
Abramovich is the only real one who lashes money out.
Which owners do we want? Who's a better owner than FSG? Apart from Mansour and potentially Abramovich, and by the way, both of those owners, you know, have made their money off the blood of other people. But anyway, let's put that to one side. Who would we like instead?
What about the PSG lads?
Qatar.
Yeah.
Same thing. Their morals are very questionable as well, Phil.
Abramovich has £1 billion of cash onto that club.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So,
if it wasn't Chelsea,
it would be a Bank of Scotland team.
Exactly.
So, you don't know what's going to really happen when he gets barred or when he dies.
So that we want different owners mentality is just like who? Who? Who's done it?
It's a good question.
No, I would like a slight change maybe in the way we do things. Maybe a little bit more ambition. But all in all, I'm quite happy with them as owners. I think you can
argue about how they spend the money. I agree with their
talk of going out and signing the best young players on the continent has been bollocks.
I agree.
You know, so they've gone out and spent money on overpriced Premier League players. And fair enough, we've got some decent players from it and we've got some not so decent players.
Steve, I've said this, right? One of the first interviews that either Werner gave or thing, their focus wasn't on buying the best young players on the continent. Their focus was buying the best young British players.
But they haven't done that either.
Well, but in their mind they have. They've signed Henderson, they've signed whoever else.
Danny Ings, for example.
Their operating model when they came in force was, what's the point in signing some fella? We were prepared to pay a bit of a premium to buy in the equivalent English version of that because they wanted to build a team that had a British core.
Yeah, it hasn't worked.
But that's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, well, they wanted that brand. That was the brand they wanted to go for. They thought that would be what the British people would be attracted to. They didn't know that Scousers are anti-British.
The worst thing that happened to FSG was the January transfer window where they sent Carroll and Suarez and sold Torres. That was the worst thing that ever happened to them because they thought that every deal they could do a Torres out and Carroll in where they'd make that money and they thought that there were loads of Suarez's out there that you could go and buy a 20 million.
Didn't understand the game.
But that's worst thing that happened to them, right? Is because they thought that every 25 million pound or 20 million, like that 20 to 30 million, that's where you go and get someone and then you sell them for 100 million. Yeah. And they thought that you could just hold on and sell a big player and then spend the money. So I almost wish, not that I don't wish we never signed Suarez, that's a terrible thing to say, but do you know what I mean?
If it hadn't been so easy for them.
Yeah, it was almost like...
Maybe their mindset might have been different.
If they needed to spend 40 million to buy Suarez...
They had an easy in.
To me now, that's where the whole thing doesn't add up because... The first window, they do Carroll and Suarez.
Yeah.
The second winter window...
They tried to do it again.
They do Sturridge and Coutinho.
They do Sturridge and Coutinho the next window.
They didn't.
They did Downing, Henderson...
No, that's the summer.
I'm talking about the winter window. Yeah. I'm talking about the winter window, right? So the two winter windows they've ever bought players in...
Yeah.
Carroll and Suarez... And... What was the other one?
Yeah.
Sturridge and Coutinho.
They bought Sturridge and Coutinho in the winter window.
Yeah, and then they haven't bought a player in the winter window since.
Which were two very opportunistic signings. Like, Sturridge was kind of struggling a little bit, lost his reputation, and Coutinho was struggling on Inter.
Yeah.
So there were two.
No, but my point is, Andy, every time they've bought in the winter window, which is the two winter windows, they've bought well. The summer has been very mixed.
We've consistently banged out 20 and 30 million on single players.
Yeah.
The biggest issue with FSG was they were reluctant to give players big wages.
Exactly.
So they were reluctant to give players big wage packets. The talk of Van Dijk getting 200 grand a week, that'll show a change. Now, none of us would expect any different this summer if there wasn't like murmurs coming from the club towards the end of the season that it was going to be different this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
So fans' expectations have been lifted up
by these
small things that, like you said, have been leaked out by the club. So at the end of the day, they kind of they need to take responsibility.
I agree.
For what's going on.
Well, I think if they don't have a good summer, they're going to get some very very rational.
There's going to be a lot of people
arguing against them.
I would argue I'm on the fence now.
If they didn't deliver this summer.
I try to be rational at the best of times, and this summer for me now it means a lot for me in terms of how I judge FSG. If you look at where they've took us from to, they've built the stadium, they've got a new training complex approved and on the way, and they've made some brilliant signings, they've made some not great signings, they've made mistakes in offending locals, and look, they're not perfect, but I feel like they're growing into the role. I think Andy said it before. I think they've gambled last year on getting top four on a bit of a shoestring. It's paid off. And now, especially after the last time we got into the Champions League, they fucked up in that next summer. they kind of have been forced into a situation now where I feel they'll be judged solely on this window. They have to go out and make a statement.
They're too slow on everything as well.
Yeah, I'm on the fence now.
But that's because they always try and, I get the sense they try and be clever.
It's like
they
Ian always Ayer. Ian Ayer should have gone a year ago. You know what I mean? Get a proper CEO in, which they've done now. They should have had a director of football a year ago.
Yeah, but Ian Ayer was effectively gone the last year.
Yes, which is ridiculous. So it's
been hanging around. Yeah, but I think we're all forgetting that they've got Klopp. You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
That was the brilliant team.
Ayer was a clever
Nobody said
the best fit we could have possibly had was Klopp, and they went.
There was no one really else available that they could have learned more about the club than a local like Ayer that knows the club inside out, knows the culture of the city.
And you think
Sport one because we don't know enough about them.
Exactly. Well, if you use common sense, right, they got the, like Neil said, they got
that.
Because they got Klopp in, right? They got Klopp in, who was basically the best possible fit at the time.
Yeah.
To bring him in and give him big money, which they are, like, as wage-wise, to tie him up with a budget would be fucking
stupid.
But he
bought into the FSG model completely when he signed up.
But they're still paying him
now. No, but the point I'm making is he's bought into their models completely.
Which is what they need.
So what's happening with FSG and Liverpool at the minute is nothing new.
There's a few misconceptions about their model. They're like by buying Klopp
and
buying
in cheap, I think.
Yeah, okay. But FSG's model isn't necessarily buying. We all thought they were Moneyballers. They haven't Moneyballed.
I don't know what their fucking model is. The point I'm making is that Klopp, whatever that model is, Klopp bought into that completely when he signed.
But
so the fact they didn't sign anyone in January, that was FSG and Klopp made that decision.
Screw him now,
it was nobody else.
But do you not think, and I noticed it towards the back end of the season, that his tone had changed slightly towards, look, we can make this work, we don't need to go out and spend more money. But he's actually come out now and said that, I think Sean, he said it before, we need 7 players. You know, it's not about net spend.
That's premeditated, Jay.
That's a big change, though, from the narrative that he had been pushing.
Yeah, I think somebody as strong as Klopp is like those, you know, strong Premier League managers or the top managers out there. When they sometimes want to make a point to their owners, they do it in the public. They don't do it in the boardroom.
I think you're mistaken to think that anything that comes out of
Klopp's
mouth...
I think you're very condescending to suggest that I'm mistaken.
Well, you are mistaken. I think you're mistaken to think that anything that comes out of Jurgen Klopp's mouth isn't completely media-centric and completely
premeditated. Well, he did make a direct quote last year when United bought Pogba. Something along the lines of him saying,
"If that's what I have to do to win,
I give up football."
Yeah.
Or
something. I'd rather give up football than have to sign players.
Now, like Mbappe, and you see links with Van Dijk for 70 million.
Do you not think the landscape of football has changed though now with the influx of money and the more?
The Pogba deal changed.
The whole narrative has changed now because Liverpool have so much more money than they had even this time last year. Then he's starting to speak more about spending more money. I mean, it's just natural.
That Pogba deal changed everything.
Unless he knows now that it's impossible to do what he wants to do at Liverpool, unless he's realised that I can't do what I need to do at Liverpool because they're too high profile. When you go looking for a player, there's a premium added onto it.
Get deals anymore.
Yeah, well, you're not going to, like, he's not going to get a player for 6 million that's going to turn into a 50 million player.
But lads,
he might have to pay 20 or 30 million for that player, so he might as well go out and get someone that's a bit more established for fucking 50, 60.
The question was around FSG and if they're the right lads to win us trophies or not. So simple answer, yes or no, are they the right owners to win us trophies, Dave?
Yeah, because I think we've been very close.
Yes or no?
I started with yes.
You said yeah, you didn't say, and then went into his thing, so yes. Mm-hmm. Jamie,
I think we will win trophies under
yes
FSG.
Or fucking no. This isn't a game.
Yes, I think we will win trophies under
it's FSG. Not a black and white question.
I've made it a black and white. Yes or no?
We're rebelling against you.
Well, person. I'm going to say yes, but it's going to take time.
Yes, okay.
Because I think Liverpool need to, like, they're trying to build Liverpool into another Manchester United.
Okay.
Where they're self-sufficient and they're going to spend.
You've just been saying all this stuff a second. Stephen,
we weren't.
Yes or no?
We didn't say that at all.
Oh no, because you went off on a tangent.
No,
of course.
I'm actually saying no for a reason. Number one, I don't think we win. Okay, listen, we're talking about many trophies.
Is it a trophy or
I don't care about a fucking Carling wanky whatever.
No, the cups don't count. Cups don't count.
Yeah, so you're talking about Premiership or Champions League. Are they going to win us a Premiership or a Champions League?
Can I change my answer then? Because I didn't know.
I don't believe so. Because for two reasons. Number one, I don't think we win either of them.
There's literally no point winning anything else by the chance.
Yeah, I agree. 100% agree with you. I don't see us winning either of them in the next 3 to 4 years. And I think in the next 3 to 4 years, they're gone.
Okay, Neil.
Well, we're going to win the league in 2019, so yes.
Sean, no.
I don't even know why I bought a Sean up.
No.
Can I just say on the, there's you no, said about, there's no point winning trophy. I don't agree with that. I think this next season now, we have to come away with a piece of silverware. It doesn't really matter what it is. And that's the next.
League or Champions League.
That, no, but that's a stepping stone. Again, we've got Champions League.
We need stone, to McGee. What did a fucking Carling Cup do when Kenny Dalglish
kept Wenger's job?
I agree with Jamie there. Like there is this new age Liverpool fan who is on Twitter like being extremely greedy, that doesn't really feel the day of a cup final. It wouldn't even cross their mind to try and get the goal to Wembley or anything like that. Liverpool fans have a good day at Wembley, and they have a good day down on the bus and going home, and fans flying over from Ireland and back. They have a ball. It is an important part of supporting Liverpool, is winning them smaller trophies as well.
You have a ball on the day, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't make a difference when it comes to signing players. No player thinks, oh, you won the fucking League Cup, so yeah, I'm
yeah, but like, well, I don't, it doesn't. The question is, as a fan,
I'm not asking any of you to change.
As a fan, okay. if we were United,
I don't give a bollock.
If we were United, we won them two trophies.
Okay. I just want to know. That's the gauge. That's the gauge. I think people.
No, fair enough. But we had this conversation in July, and my whole point in July or August, whenever it was, before the league started, was I'd rather see us play a season of entertaining football, enjoy watching the games week to week, than actually have a shit season and come out with a cup at the end. It still stands. That's my point.
And the question
I'll take a year of shit football to finally win a Premier League.
But that was my question.
Other than that, fuck it.
They will do a poll tomorrow to see what listeners think. All 75 of them who'll retweet us. Right? So,
the good thing is our 75 listeners have 14 accounts each.
I know. So it's, we get loads of this.
That's the difference right there.
That's how we're on top of the
So it's not a solid 2,000.
No.
Just to finish there on
FSG. It's 20,000, man.
Just to finish on FSG, I think my concern is that they're not risk takers, and they always try and be savvy and outsmart people, and I think that's going to ultimately hold us back.
Okay. You know what? They're what would be classed as trying to be cute whores, right? And that's ultimately it. They're always trying to get that little deal. No, it's not even talking a big game. It's that.
Lads, I've one question.
I'll give you a question. Being savvy and being risk takers are the same thing, right?
I'm saying they're neither. I'm saying they're not.
You can't be savvy and not a risk taker.
I'm not saying they're savvy. I'm saying they try to overcomplicate and be too clever.
I think it's a big Ponzi scheme.
I don't think it's
a, anyway, look,
it's a just a big pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Neil, cliche corner here.
I've one last question, the serious question to deal with tonight, right? And it is genuine.
Lovely.
You know, an awful lot of the fucking Dorita Dust Monsters out there still have an issue when it comes to Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right? So
this is very serious, I can tell.
It is. And look, fair play to Rodgers getting married, and he seemed to be very happy on his wedding day, lovely bride and all that type of stuff. But given what he's done at Celtic, right? And looking back to the first two seasons he had at Liverpool, do you understand why nobody would consider him to be a good manager? Like, I think that what people, in my view, Brendan Rodgers is a manager who gets the points that are in that squad, but he won't get any more than the points. And achieving what he did and having an unbeaten season in Celtic is actually a phenomenal achievement.
It's a great achievement this season, and I think he's a top manager under that elite layer, and we as a club want an elite level manager to drag us, because we don't have the spending power. We need a manager better than the sum of our parts.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
yeah, we've said that a million times. Yeah, exactly. Our manager has to overperform.
Exactly, our manager needs to overperform in order to have a manager, or to give yourself the best chance of your manager overperforming. You get a better manager than what your club probably deserves, and that's what we've done with Jurgen Klopp. Brendan Rodgers gives us the mean. He is the average.
Yeah.
And that's
Can I just challenge that for a minute? Because your point about Brendan Rodgers needs to outperform. So when he was the Swansea manager, right, and they first came into the Premier League, they were the biggest overperformers in the league.
Yeah.
Right? So he did it in his first season at Swansea, right? Okay, his first season at Liverpool probably hit the mean. His second season at Liverpool, he overperformed massively. Third season, poor. Then he's gone to Celtic and done what no other Celtic manager has ever done, overperformed. So I actually think it's harsh to say that he'll never get more out of the squad than what's there, because he's consistently done it throughout his career. Can he do it at an elite level club, I think is the question, whether he can do it on a consistent basis. But, you know, what he's just achieved is phenomenal.
I think he could.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. I think if he's backed and given what he needs. I think he'd do well. Like, the likes with Chelsea. Because the players that we were linked to, the whole shite that came out when Rodgers was in charge of the committee, it was always his word against theirs. The players that we were linked to that are apparently coming from his side, the likes of the Willians, the Sanchez's, the Mkhitaryans. Like, he has got an eye for a player. And, like, apparently he wanted to bring Van Dijk to Liverpool. Is that right? So I think he has got the eye for a player. He's definitely a good coach because he's good.
Okay. I want to take that point, and I'll put it to Andy and I'll put it to Jamie on that one, right? I think Brendan Rodgers, who is very similar to Kenny Dalglish in his second spell at Liverpool, where he performed better when he didn't have as much control over the players that were in the squad than when he did have full control over what players were coming into his squad. And in that way, he's gone into a Celtic team where he hasn't overhauled the squad. He's made a couple of additions last summer, and he's more or less worked with the tools he has there and has actually got the best out of them because he's a coach.
Yeah.
He's not a manager, he's a coach. So, Andy, I'm putting it to you that Brendan Rodgers in the pure continental system where you go in and coach teams and you coach to get the best out of them would actually suit him down to the ground more than what the traditional English...
He needs to build up a bit of a reputation. There is this kind of embarrassing look about him. Like
David Brent.
Yeah, and people see that and they discredit him because of that, and some of his comments are very, very cringy.
Well, they're not discrediting him because of how he looks. They're discrediting him because of how he behaves, because of the things he says, because of how he looks, because of certain like little videos of him on the training pitch and stuff like that, and the being Liverpool
but that's not him. The club decided to run that.
But he said the words that came from his mouth.
He did talk a lot of shit
with his envelope.
What managers do on the training pitch?
He did talk a lot of shit.
Okay, so to make my point, when he's in the media, I had to switch off.
It didn't do it for me listening to him.
It annoyed me, but I had absolutely no problem with Brendan Rodgers on the training ground on match day making his different decisions. He's done a fucking unbelievable job at Celtic, and people want to make excuses as to why that happened, like it's some major coincidence, like that it's nothing to do with him. Totally discredit him, and he's done a good job with us. He took us as far as he could. He was the right manager at the right time. It will probably take him a while, maybe a bit more than a successful season winning the league with Celtic, to build that reputation for a team in Spain or a team in Italy or a team in Germany or somewhere he wants to work on the continent, for them to say, oh, you know what, like, we give him a big job here. People think it's like it would be mad for him to go and manage in Spain, but David Moyes got a job in Spain. Like, Gary Neville got a job in Spain. It doesn't fucking, like... He could get a job with anyone outside Real or Barcelona. He could. You just wouldn't know.
He shadowed at Barcelona, didn't he? He did do a bit of shadowing at Barcelona.
Here's the thing about him. It could be that he has an ability that when a team builds up some early momentum, he has the ability to keep that going and to keep that team believing for the season. The season ahead for him is huge, simply because it is the worst Scottish league there's been in... as long as I can remember. It's fucking abysmal.
But you can only beat what's in front of you. And you've done that to the maximum. You're 100% of the domestic league.
Absolutely, and I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is, it's a poor, poor Scottish league. So beating what's in front of you isn't as hard when the league is that poor. When they go next season to the Champions League, and they're in the group stages, and they take a couple of beatings, because Brendan Rodgers has never proven to be actually effective in European football when we've had him, be it Europa or Champions League football. He's proved to be very, very naive. If he does that next season with an inferior squad to what he had at Liverpool, ultimately, from a European point of view, and they get pasted, how does he pick those players up at the weekend? Do they fall to a 1-0 to Falkirk? Do they fucking have a 1-0 draw?
No, but he got pasted in the Champions League this season.
I think he got a little bit of a raw deal at Liverpool initially, because he wanted the job so much. I know the whole committee thing, we call it a committee, but I know they have that at every club, and these people are there that select the players coming in and going out. He signed up, he just took that because he wanted the Liverpool job so much, he signed up to it. And I think with the benefit of hindsight, if he could go back, he wouldn't take the job that easily without having some ground rules in place that would have made his course in Liverpool a little bit easier.
Yeah, he was bent over both barrels for his whole tenure, even when he got rid of Pascoe and all. When he was forced to take Pascoe and all.
Look,
that's when he should have went.
Okay. Look, as I said, from everyone here in the pod, we just want to say well done, Brendan Rodgers. He did a great job there in Celtic.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're talking about this because of like the hate that exists.
Listen,
there's absolutely no excuse for hating Brendan Rodgers. It's insane.
Andy, the reason why I wanted to put it to you is because the amount of hate that went towards him because he got married, Like, it's just, it's off the charts.
Yeah,
basically, there was a picture, somebody, there was a picture put out of him getting married, happy on his wedding day with his missus, right? Mm. And the level of hate that's thrown at him because he's getting married.
Our fucking ex-manager. Like, a fella, a man.
Not who, Roy Hodgson, no. Brendan Rodgers, who got us to finish second.
And a man who came in and he, like, look, Suarez did like him. There was lots of the players liked him.
He loved the club.
He loved the club. And he gave his heart and soul. I think he might have bottled it in the Champions League season. He kind of reverted to a very protective, protecting his job. But that's natural. That's human nature.
The man
did nothing wrong.
Footballers
should be commended because he dropped a talkie and he married a fox. And that's just...
Footballers on the training pitch, they spot a fraud very, very quickly. And if you look at the players that have come out and spoke very highly of Brendan Rodgers as a coach, that tells you everything you need to know. I think his issue for me is that after an unbelievable season in which he was absolutely at the centre of everything, let's not give that nonsense about Suarez. He built a system to get the best out of Suarez and the players around him and produced some of the best football I've ever seen in my lifetime. And you can't take that away. His problem is that the job was probably a little bit too big for him at that time. And in that last season, when the pressure started to come on top of him, he abandoned his beliefs and then lost his identity as a manager. And I think that was his issue.
That's a great way to end it off. Right, two last questions before we wrap up here. Andy and Steve-O and Neil especially and the rest of you.
So everyone.
To everyone around the tables. Strangest place you've knocked one off.
In the bunker.
How do you
that
know?
Was a joke, lad.
How do you know?
I've yet to knock one out in the bunker. Yet.
I've just done one in your pocket.
That's not my pocket, mate. That's my hand.
felt like a jar of liver.
Go on, Andy. I'll let you feel this one.
I'm all right with decoration.
If someone...
You don't like talking about wanking on the pod, no?
It seems very inappropriate.
Do you? Go on,
Sean. You're young for you. You must have done.
Yeah, you must be bashing
mad places.
Out left, right, centre.
But you can't do a bus.
Now I'm from the old job. Listening, there's like a little washroom in the old job. I went down there one day and me lunch.
One day, just the one.
One day a week. Yeah, exactly.
one day and two.
I think a better question is when is the weirdest place you've gone to
a butcher?
Yeah,
right.
Crafty butcher.
And you know you hear like a jar of liver. Is there anything better than a jar of liver?
No, definitely not. Do you know what one thing I will say?
Just heat it up in the microwave.
On that question, only weirdos eat liver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
90% of the customers coming up to me that were point, they were always a bit weird. Do you know what Jim said? Going back to what Andy said, don't like a jar of liver. It's actually starting to add up now.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking weird people bought liver.
A load of liver as well.
Like,
not just
helpless with bald spots and long fingernails kind of fucking thing.
Dirty long fingernails.
Dirty bastards, yeah.
So say if you're ever into fishing,
I did like a bit of fishing.
You get liver and you put it on the wall or whatever in your garden and then all the maggots come along.
Yeah.
So would you say got loads of maggots and all into their jar as well?
No, because you can only get two heats out of the liver in the microwave and then you have to throw it out.
last one. Which annoying celebrity footballer would you love to punch?
Celebrity footballer?
Yeah, the example given here is Ben Shepherd.
Jonathan Wilkes.
Why is he still knocking around?
Jonathan Wilkes is a great show.
Yeah, he's a fucking
Robbie Williams' mate.
That's it.
No, you're that wanker.
Jonathan Wilkes.
And he's always the skipper.
What's that man's name? That he's the fella from the north, Paddy.
Paddy Keelty.
Patrick Keelty.
The goalie.
I'd love to hear him a bang of a hole. Straight across the face. He wrecks my fucking head.
Even enough footballers to just play football.
Tim Lovejoy as well.
Staying on your
You like Tim Lovejoy?
Yeah, I think I love Sunday brunch.
Worst person ever.
Do you not like Sunday brunch?
No.
Tim Lovejoy.
I like Sunday brunch.
I love Sunday brunch.
I don't hate Tim Lovejoy. Like he wouldn't be top of my list to come
Paddy
to.
Paddy Keelty though.
Patrick Keelty's an awful thing to say. Pat Nevin, but doesn't answer the question.
Pat Nevin.
Why do you hate Pat Nevin?
He's
so
a conceited
much?
Little prick.
He's horrible.
Yes.
Ollie Moores as well.
Ollie Moores.
He's a likeable guy.
Whenever he's playing, looking at them things on ITV, how Chloe Tilsley, he fucking had trials with Newcastle when he was 15. Like, who gives a gee?
There will be girls that
I know he isn't on the Celebrity Football Match, but again, on an Andy show, your man Paddy Mulligan, that's on Morning Ireland or Ireland AM or whatever it's called, who does the football reviews, and he just hates Liverpool.
Brian McFadden, he's one of them.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what? Yeah. Not, no word of a lie. He actually played. Brian McFadden played a game for the local, my local team, St. John Bosco, and around in Ben Manningham Field.
For the Bosco?
Yeah, he played a game for the Bosco, and he was actually decent. And I'm not joking, there was about 1,000 people there. I've never seen that. It was fucking mad.
Was he playing as a banger?
No, he played. He was a banger. The funniest thing about all.
He's a banger!
You get a fucking global pop superstar at the time to play as a banger.
Yeah.
No, that fella looks the image of Harry fucking Styles. Yeah, that's because it is Harry Styles.
And it was literally...
John Smith.
It was in Westlife's pump, and the funniest thing was after the game, signed a few autographs and gets into the back of a fucking Opel Corsa. Not even a Ford. Or he had to pull the seat back and get in the back. It was fucking good.
A thousand people turning up to watch a junior football match. Yeah, there's nothing weird going on here.
He's definitely not.
I swear to God, I'm not joking.
He was doing a stint with some team.
Beachcomber, wasn't it?
10 years. It was
Beachcomber,
and they played against. It was either Kilimana or Green Park. In Green Park, though.
Yeah.
And Kerry turned up, and she parked on the side of the pitch, just kind of on the road, and she didn't know that, like. This area just full of riffraff. So he's playing away anyway. And within like 10 minutes, everybody heard that Kerry was in Green Park. And all the scumbags came and they were all sticking their dicks up against the windscreen.
She probably notched every one of them off as well.
She's gone to Iceland.
She's been bipolar ever since.
She is dirty and now boots.
Locking the car and all sorts of. It was just a race for Carry On. And Brian McFadden.
Did you ever get done for whipping your dick on a
So Andy, where's the strangest place you had a
wipe? I was watching a match on the sideline, and he just done a Forrest Gump off the pitch, like, and into the car, and fucking blew off, and it made me laugh when he went onto Twitter taking on ISIS then.
Yeah, he wants to have it. He literally wanted to have a strainer on ISIS. He was looking for a strainer. Why can't these put their guns and their fucking bombs down and we have a strainer off ISIS?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a strainer.
And Ronan Keating was like, "Yeah, come on."
He wanted to take on
Brian McFadden on a fist fight with ISIS.
Brian McFadden
didn't want that. And he couldn't smash your face.
Like, I gotta go.
Should I do that again?
That's it, lads. Well done. Right, so that was this week's pod. Just tried something different, put as many people as we possibly can in the room and have a bit of crack and see what came out of it. By this time next week, we'll probably sign Salah and sign Van Dijk. Have we signed them yet? Or are we signing?
Done.
Right, big thanks as ever to the Astro Park for letting us have the Bunker Mark 2. We'll have to tell them when we see them next time, but that's great. It is as ever, get down to the old Astro Park to play your 5-a-side, 7-a-side football, and if you're playing on a Monday night, we might be able to video you and have a laugh at you while we're doing the Periscope. And also then, big thanks again to the lads that came in with Sean, with Neil, with Steve, with Andy, with Jamie, and with Dave. We have myself, Phil Casey. Until next week, good night, God bless, and we might have signed one player by this time next week.
Solanke.